When a nation is subject to genocide, nothing is ever the same again. Under the rule of Pol Pot and the Khmer Rouge, Cambodia lost almost a quarter of their population, something the country is still coming to terms with. In this next piece, I look at the concept of reconciliation and how we should judge the success of a tribunal which was created to bring a caste of perpetrators to justice. Between 1975 and 1979, Cambodia was under the rule of the Communist Party of Kampuchea, otherwise known as the Khmer Rouge. Under their auspices, upwards of 1.7 million people died, close to a quarter of the country's population at the time. Through cooperation with the UN, a tribunal was set up to prosecute the perpetrators of the genocide. It was named the Extraordinary Chambers in the Courts of Cambodia. Since its inception, the trial has come under much international scrutiny. The tribunal's framework only considers those perpetrators who fall into one of two categories. 1. A senior leader of the Democratic Kampuchea. 2. Those believed to be most responsible. Talking with academics and survivors, it is clear that the concepts of reconciliation, justice, and healing within Cambodia is a delicate subject, and one that should be approached from an outside perspective with sensitivity.
My name's Dr. Peter Manning, and I'm a lecturer in sociology at the University of Bath.
This is Peter on the recent case of Im Cham, an alleged perpetrator whose case was recently dropped because she was outside the scope of the court.
We think about the case through the lens of the War Crimes Tribunal, and that's absolutely central. You know, it captures our imagination. If we're going to make judgments about whether this tribunal is a success or a failure, I mean, you know, we've got to think about what a success or failure really mean in this instance. A lot of people are going to write this process off, and they have written it off already. What is this really for? Who is this really for? I mean, I think success or failure has to be judged in the eyes of the Cambodian public, and I think they've got very mixed views about this. I think a lot of people will feel satisfied with their participation with what they've seen. The symbolism of seeing some of these senior leaders locked up, I think, it's got huge traction in some quarters. I think a lot of other people will be less fussed about it, or will see it as potentially disappointing. You know, I think transitional justice has to be thought beyond the courtroom in Cambodia, right?
Reconciliation in Cambodia is complex and nuanced, and the reaction of the public to the ongoing results of the tribunal will exist on a spectrum. One thing that must be considered is, in Cambodia, there are many areas where victims of the genocide must confront their perpetrators and often coexist with them. This is Yuk Chang, Executive Director of the Documentation Centre of Cambodia and survivor of the Khmer Rouge regime.
In Cambodia, you see the two rivers, the Tonle Sap and the Mekong. You know, they meet right in front of our royal palace, but they split again, you know, as they flow to the south.
Yuk compares these two rivers to the two sides of the post-genocide society, perpetrators and victims.
The two rivers must meet at a certain point. The two sides, victim or perpetrator, must meet at a certain point. But again, they split and remain a river. Their identity remain unchanged. And they flow, they keep moving.
When we were speaking, Peter told me a story from his days of field work in Cambodia that I can't help but relate to Yuk's analogy.
Now, I was at a forum, this was back in 2009, you know, where two guys in front of me, you know, were talking. One of them was invited to speak about, you know, his experiences of the regime, and he spoke of his suffering. He talked about how difficult he'd found life and lost relatives, and he said, you know, that my perpetrator, my abuser, is in front of me. He's next to me. We're here together. And the forum leader asked this chap, how did you guys come to establish a meaningful relationship after that? And he said, well, two things. One, we drink together. And two, we don't talk about it. And I think you can read that. You can read that as really unhealthy in some respects. Or, you know, you could perhaps see that as a pragmatic, understandable, if mundane and everyday, kind of understandable reaction to this set of experiences, you know. You know, they've made that relationship meaningful on terms that they've perhaps chosen.
This is Yuk Chang again.
You know, perhaps this would not, in parallel with the understanding of what reconciliations mean to all. So you meet and then you split. You face and then you split. You deal with the past and then you move. So that is Cambodian contact. So people meet, people, you know, are being forced to deal with the past, not only by the entire population of Cambodia, but by the world. But again, you know, they will move on with their life. But, and the question is, are we all being reconciled? Perhaps the answer is no, not all. At some unknown time, forgiveness is possible, I mean, but not all the time. But we should make effort all the time.
Yuk Chang, ending that report.